My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the news of the morning, unfortunately, Michael Hall Jr., now according to reports, Browns are aware of the situation, but the Avon police have booked Michael Hall Jr., Brown's second-round draft choice from Ohio State and Streetsboro on domestic violence charges. That's what we know right now, and as we learn more details about this, we will share them with you. The Browns' statement, we are aware of the incident involving Mike Hall Jr. last night. Mike and his representatives have been in touch with the appropriate authorities. We're in the process of gathering more information, and we'll have no further comment at this time. So we'll see what the Browns do. We'll see what happens here with the legal process. We've talked about what it might mean for the team defensively. I think they have plenty of depth at defensive tackle. Will the Browns stand by him here? Dan and I think so, yes, because they have a history of standing by guys who have had incidents pop up. They have a history of giving guys second chances and have not been shy about bringing guys to the team who are getting second chances. And as you said, Malik McDowell, I've said Kareem Hunt, Deshaun Watson. So we'll see what happens there. But scream suspension, we'll see again. But history tells us the NFL jumps in even if the legal process does not.
Right. And the Browns are in the midst of, they've said in their statement, as Jeff read, they're doing their investigation at this time. He has been, Mike Hall Jr. has been booked by the Avon Police Department. You know, all of that stuff that's involved in there involving this dispute. The Browns do not need to do anything roster-wise right now.
No.
Until the league makes some kind of a ruling and the league does their investigation and everything else that follows it, then the Browns may have to make some kind of a move. So right now, we're kind of all in a holding pattern until we find out what's going on, and we're all in a holding pattern until the league decides to make a decision. This isn't going to operate like college football where the school is going to step in and do one punishment and then the NCAA might overrule that. That's not where we are. The NFL is going to make the ruling on this, and I have a feeling the Browns are going to do their own investigation. They're going to look at things through their own lens, and the league is going to do theirs, and the league will make a ruling, and we go from there.
We will keep you updated. If there's any new information on this, we'll share it with you. We're not going to talk about Mike Hall getting arrested for 4 hours today. Mm-hmm. So as information comes available, we will pass it along to you. We'll keep you updated on everything going on. So there's that situation. Yesterday, the folks from Cuyahoga County, Executive Chris Ronayne, and the head of Cleveland City Council had their press conference. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, and they basically defended their reasons for not wanting the Browns to leave the lakefront and be part of a dome situation, taxpayers not involved with the dome. The gentleman who spoke yesterday think that they should stay at the lakefront, renovate this stadium, and move forward. You heard every bit of what was said yesterday. We ran like 5 minutes of it yesterday. You heard every bit, Dano.
Yep, I did.
Sadly. You poor son of a gun.
Cuyahoga County Executive Chris Ronayne also spoke with Cuyahoga County Councilman Pernell Jones Jr., who is also the president.
Council president, yeah.
The council president of Cuyahoga County, which, say that, five times fast?
No.
They spoke yesterday involving the stadium, everything else. Chris Ronayne, the Cuyahoga County executive, did the majority of the speaking. Basically started off, you heard a little bit of this with Jeff and I. This is the main talking point that came out of the early part of this until the questions started kicking in.
Okay, that's great. If you need a campaign, what is it that you're campaigning for?
That was my question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that kind of came out of this whole thing that led me to want to ask more questions to what the county is thinking,
yeah,
and everything else involving it. But they are very much, we want to keep the stadium in downtown Cleveland. One of the big reasons being they have seen the proposal that the Haslams have put forward, and these are their thoughts on the proposals.
Okay. I've received emails from people screaming about, okay, Jimmy's a rich guy, he should pay for the whole thing. Okay, that makes that. Maybe that happens, but we know how pro sports works, and you can point to other big cities that have had owners pay for the whole thing themselves. The only one that really pops into my head is SoFi Stadium with Stan Kroenke. In Dallas, Jerry Jones did receive public funding for a lot of the stuff that he did down there, other situations. It's unlikely that something gets done here without public funding. Do you agree, Dano? I mean, let's be realistic about this.
It's going to be very, very unlikely it doesn't get done without some kind of public funding.
I would think that there will be public funding involved. And if there's not, then everybody's just going to, if the Haslams decide they're going to do all this on their own, well, then everybody's just going to have to shut up. Sorry.
Exactly.
You know, if the Haslams want to tell everybody where they can go stick it, they can just pay for it. And is that possible? I don't know. I don't know their finances. We know they've got a lot of money. And we know that money's never been an issue with them.
Right.
Ever. And it's interesting to me that there are enough people screaming about it to get all fired up about this. But money's never been an issue with them. If they're looking for public money to help build a new dome stadium, okay, fine. Maybe they can get it. Maybe they can't. And if they can't get it and still want to build it, maybe they bring on some business partners who want to invest, some real estate investors, something else, and they do their whole big complex out in Brook Park.
Right.
If they don't, here's the one thing that I want to go back to with Ronayne and Jones about this, is this thought. Who thinks putting $1 billion into the stadium on the lake is a good idea? I mean, who thinks that's a good idea? And where did that even come from? As I've said all along on this, and I'm sincere when I say this, if you just want to go watch a football game, there's nothing wrong with that stadium now. There's nothing wrong with it now. Is it perfect? No. Well, we spent 60 years in a stadium that wasn't perfect, and we finally replaced it. But everybody talks about the old stadium and the memories and the great times and everything else. The place was a dump. I loved it. I thought it was great. Because I was going to watch a pro sporting event. I was going to watch baseball. I was going to watch football. I loved the place. I didn't care that the urinals were troughs. I didn't care that the place was old and antiquated. It was where I went to watch pro sports. If you want to watch the Browns, you can go down to Cleveland Browns Stadium, and it's just fine. I would think $1 billion into that is a bad idea, which makes me think that maybe spending an extra 1.4 on a brand new, and it's not my money. Again, who knows, public funding, whatever else. The difference between what's been floated, $1 billion to fix it, and 2.4 to build a new one, well, that sounds ridiculous to me. Why would you not just try to find another huge sum of money and build the new one? But that's, I'm no financial guy. That said, can you fix up the current stadium for several $100 million and it gets another 10 to 15 years of life out of it? Because, Dan, even if you put $1 billion in it, in another 10 or 15 years, people are going to be screaming for a new stadium.
Right. Because we see this all the time with all these different places that within, it's new and shiny, it's new and shiny. Oh, no, we need more.
Right.
You know, it's.
I mean, a $1 billion fix to that place isn't going to give it another 25 years of life.
No.
At least in the NFL today, where things just change like crazy.
Well, and this is the big part of this. And to me, this is one of the best things about Cleveland and also one of the worst things about Cleveland.
And by the way, Mary Kay Cabot was going to join us. She's obviously working on the Mike Hall story. Might be able to join us later in the show today. Right.
One of the best things about Cleveland, one of the worst things about Cleveland coming together is something that Chris Ronayne hit on, and it's the history of Cleveland and where everything sits there. And Chris Ronayne really made sure to hammer home how important it is for the Browns to come back to their history in downtown Cleveland.
The history goes back to 1999 at Cleveland Brown Stadium. It doesn't go back any further.
But the county executive will tell you that it's been there for 100 years. There's been history there for 100 years.
On that plot of land, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, but not in that stadium.
Exactly.
And again, the stadium is just fine to go watch a football game in. Does it lack charm? Does it lack character? Probably. But how many football stadiums have charm and character? Baseball stadiums, it's a different story. You know, baseball stadiums are kind of quirky and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Football stadiums, to me, have always been functional.
Yeah, some of them are that way.
It has to be.
Like Tampa has charm and character because it's got the giant pirate ship in the back that everybody can play on. Lambeau, because it's so old. You could throw Soldier Field in there before they ruined it. Exactly. Before they wrecked it, you could have said Soldier Field.
And again, that went so well, they're building a new one.
Exactly.
I mean, there is a shelf life on some of these things.
Trying to think
especially
of the,
in today's NFL, where economics demand more from their stadium because teams want to use it as a tool to make money.
Well, right. Because you only have, 8 scheduled? 9 scheduled, I should say, home games in a given year.
Right.
So you have 9 things that stadium is used for its, I don't know if you want to call it, primary tenant. And you need to find something else to do, or else you end up where Cleveland Brown Stadium is right now, which is I got 9 things that are written down on the calendar that we for sure are doing. And then I hope we could fill more days to make this building worth it in doing something else besides allowing people to shoot wedding photos in it and prom pictures.
And as an open-air stadium on the lakefront, that's my point. A dome stadium, you're going to be able to use a lot more. An open-air stadium on the lakefront, you're not. So why don't you just leave it as a football thing and not spend $1 billion to renovate it?
Chris Ronayne has a lot more when it comes to renovating and the plans and all that kind of stuff, and we'll get to those in a little bit.
216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Domestic violence charges. This doesn't sound pretty.
No, I will do the best I can to read this. This is the comment of the police report that is here that we've been able to get a copy of. Male Michael Hall. There were two. All right, so I'll start at the top of this. I'm not going to lie. I'm not adept at reading police reports to the best of me. So I will do the best that I can here. Caller required police and then disconnected. 911 operator could hear yelling in the background. Spoke with a female on a call back, who advised there was a domestic situation. Male pushed her daughter and hit her with a baby bottle. Female not injured, declined ambulance. Male Michael Hall Jr. left in car, should be en route in Middleburg Heights. Two firearms were involved in there from what I'm seeing here. Taking photographs and statement from the mother of the female victim. Yeah, this is not pretty at all. As I said, I apologize to anybody if that sounded a little disjointed. I am not the best at reading police reports.
Well, it's usually not been in your job description.
No, and I hope it never is again, because it's not fun.
All right, so there you go.
Yeah, it's
more details, and we'll see what comes of this and more things that happen as we move forward here.
Right. Though if two firearms are involved here, like it's saying in this police report, this is pretty ugly.
Well,
so we will. It sounds pretty ugly. We have nothing to back any of that stuff.
I'm sorry for, and you might not know this. Did it say that firearms were involved in the incident, or he was pulled over and they were in his vehicle? I wasn't clear when you said that.
All I have written here are two firearms, NIF for both firearms. I'm not 100% sure what that means. I apologize to anybody who does know what that means, because I don't. So I don't know if that means they were involved, or they were on him, or they were in the area. I have no idea, Jeff. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
All I know is the police report says firearms.
Okay. So, again, more details as they become available. We'll have them for you right here on 92.3 The Fan. We're talking about the press conferences held by the county and city officials yesterday. And Chris Ronayne, the county executive, talking about wanting to keep the Browns in downtown Cleveland. I have a buddy who's a business guy in town and worked in, I think his dad was a Cleveland cop, actually, back in the day. And my buddy said, the city in this situation is acting like Jimmy Haslam owes the city and the economy something. And he said, this seems like the city would like Jimmy to apologize for being a rich guy. My buddy said, I don't even like him, but if it were me, I would move and build a world-class facility. City will boo-hoo all about that and talk about lakefront development for an eternity. And I agree completely. It gets back to this whole lakefront and vibrant and Browns are part of that and blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing about this forever. Why haven't we been able to develop a lakefront? Because the city hasn't had its act together. That's why. And to me, the stadium in any way, shape, or form, the old one or the new one, has always been used as a pivot point in those talks. Some of them have been, well, we can't do it because the stadium is there. And then, well, we can't develop the lake if the stadium isn't there. We want the Browns to be a vital part of the stadium to be a vital part of the lakefront development. Well, it's been there in some way, shape, or form since 1931. Where's the lakefront development? To me, it seems like it gets in the way.
I've often thought the same. You've been screaming it longer than I have. Andy's been screaming it just as long as you have, that lakefront development has been the ultimate goal that everyone has sought for an extended period of time, going back to Randy Lerner and everybody else before then, and yet everything continues to remain the same. And so maybe it is that case. Maybe it's just that simple of exactly what you are saying. You know, hey, we get rid of that stadium and all of a sudden you can find some level of lakefront for development. The county disagrees with you. The county thinks that the stadium is a part of lakefront development. I don't know why the county thinks that that is the case. I don't work for the county, nor do I know anybody in the county. So I politely disagree with them because I'm with you. I'd rather get it off the lake. I would rather build restaurants and hotels and shops and all that kind of stuff on the lake to do something like Baltimore has in the Inner Harbor that everybody drools over and is absolutely gorgeous. I'd rather have that. That'd be tremendous. Rather than having a building standing there you use 13 times a year.
Todd's in Ward 1. Todd.
Cleveland, Ohio was established in 1796. The lakefront's been here all that time, and this is not just a stadium issue. This is a local government issue. This is as old as the city itself. So, Chris Ronayne.
That's the word according to Todd, and Jeff agrees.
Yep. Heed the word of Todd. Jeff doesn't rhyme quite as well, but we can roll with it. And it's your broadcast, so Todd's ability to convey is at the will of Jeff.
Dan is honored to listen.
No, we're letting you roll, Todd. You're our guy.
So I don't trust people that use metaphors, especially people that use metaphors in serious matters that don't even apply. This whole dog don't hunt thing that Chris Ronayne brought up has even in its most loose way, doesn't even apply to what we were talking about It was a poor demonstration of two taxpayer-funded officials, employees, Romaine and Griffin, when they had much more important things to do. Here's how it could happen. I agree. It should not be part of the general fund being spent on this for the dome. But the general fund can be spent on the surrounding things that are on the property and very close proximity to the property, and will get a good practical return to the taxpayer. That is true. A well-structured, easier said than done, disclaimer, a well-structured municipal bond will give a good return to the taxpayer on this pursuit. And in addition to that, any money that is allocated out from the taxpayer isn't going to be gifted. It's going to be lent. So my greater concern is just to make sure that there's not a lot of public waste. So they're going to have to keep a tight rein on a taxpayer-funded corrupt agency, which is RTA. But that's another conversation. This can work.
God's on a roll. You're on a roll.
And it's going to bring more people to the city ultimately that will not just be occupying their time at Brook Park, but coming into the city of Cleveland to spend money over time, which means there'll be more money. Just suck up the cost. You're going to have to knock the stadium down, whatever that cost is going to be, and the Haslams are going to let you know in well enough time so that when their lease is up, they'll be able to move right smooth into their brand-new dome, and they can knock down the old stadium and get to work on things that are much more practical for the taxpayer where the old stadium is. Cleveland was established in 1796. The lakefront has been here all that time. No further comment.
Todd, thank you very much. It's Todd in Ward 1. Kevin is in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
I'm hanging in, man.
We're better than Michael Hall.
There you go. Oh, yeah, we all. Aren't we all? Hey, I listened to all this, and I went back and rewatched some of it. I am absolutely perplexed why a Cuyahoga County official would have come out and made that proclamation. Last I checked, the fine town of Brook Park is contained within the Cuyahoga County borders, is it not?
This is my question as well.
Thought the same thing, Kevin.
This is my question as well.
Yeah, and so that was very head-scratching to me as a county commissioner, why you're weighing in on what part of the county something goes in. I mean, as long as this development that's building your county, isn't that what you should be supporting? So that was a huge head scratcher. But I just want to chime in real quickly. I mean obviously I've had some big time real estate clients, and you know, I'll just say this: anytime you're building a big project, right, you know, $10+ million and more, you want the county or whoever, let's put it this way, whoever's issuing the permits and stuff, you want them on your side. So obviously you want to build those relationships ahead of time. You want to make sure it's a smooth transition. So when you need your electrical and plumbing and sewing and all the permits and stuff you have to get when you build these big projects, it goes smoothly, no hiccups, no problems. So, I mean, really, the county's, I guess, sort of, you know, whatever you call it, final bomb or whatever you want to say, you know, final veto, could be a huge stickler in the side of the Haslams in that whole permitting and da da da. Now, can it finally get done? Yeah. It adds a ton of pain and suffering in regards to, you know, going to court and suing and legal stuff and blah, 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 blah. It's stuff you don't want to deal with. So obviously you want that cooperative relationship. So, again, I'm scratching my head. Why would the county step up and kind of telegraph, hey, we're going to be a giant pain in your side from that perspective if you try to improve our county and put this big stadium here? I mean, the whole thing from
Kevin,
my
that makes it makes in, no sense, does it?
Zero sense. No yeah. sense at all. There's no logic behind this whatsoever. So there's got to be something behind the scenes that nobody's saying. That because why would a county commissioner come out and say that? I mean, it just for what? It makes no sense unless there's something else going on that they're not telling us.
I just wonder, and we haven't heard anything about this. This is just hypothetical. What if one of the surrounding counties stepped up and said, hey, we've got a lot of land, and we'd love to have you and your development. I wonder.
And the Haslam Circle would grab that with both arms and hug it and say, hey, so how about Summit County? We live in a lovely county here in Summit County. I think we would welcome a dome in Summit County, and I think we would fill it up every Sunday, no doubt about it.
Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, Kevin, Kristen Ronayne hit on that, the Cuyahoga County executive who spoke yesterday about, hey, are there other sites outside of the county?
It's a lot of talk without a lot of, I think it's talk. Without, okay, well, why exactly? Why? And is it strictly just this? Is it we don't want to spend $1.2 billion to help build a dome stadium. We don't have it. We can't. Is that it? Or because seriously, if that development goes in Brook Park, you don't think that's going to help downtown as well with hotels and everything else? I would think it would. And restaurants and everything else, I would think it still would help downtown. And it would help the county tax base. And Cleveland is in Cuyahoga County, so that would benefit from it. I don't know. It's
well, I mean, Chris Renane, add it in.
Okay. And maybe that is. I don't know the budget, but
I don't know the budget either.
Maybe it is. Seems to me, and I've had nasty emails from folks, you know, saying Jimmy's a rich guy, should pay for it himself. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll get some rich friends to come in, and maybe he does it on his own. What does that do? You know, it seems like there are lines being drawn in the sand here that don't need to be drawn in the sand. And maybe this should be more of a bigger conversation and working rather than taking a stance one way or another. Maybe I'm completely wrong on this. It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan. We'd love your thoughts. 216-474-0092. We're talking about two things today. The arrest of Mike Hall Jr. on domestic violence charges. As we get new information, we will pass it along to you. Right now, police report is out. And when we get information, if the Browns release anything more from a statement standpoint, we'll have that for you. We're talking about the stadium situation and the comments by our county executive and our council president yesterday about the situation. I keep going back to this. You don't want a dome stadium? Okay, that's fine. You don't want to contribute to it as a tax base? Okay, I understand that. And you want the Haslams to pay for the whole thing? Fine. I understand that too. That might not be feasible. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you how to pay for it. The one thing I do know in this whole situation, at least in this guy's opinion, putting $1 billion into that stadium on the lake is a silly idea. That is silly. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I feel the same exact way. Chris Renane, the Cuyahoga County executive, politely disagrees with all of us and brings in the idea that, hey, it's not just the Browns with this one. We got to think of everybody else in town.
Okay.
I think that's probably the answer.
If you don't think the stadium is up to snuff now and you pour $1 billion into it, like Mayor Bibb said, and we'll want a 30-year lease. Really? You really think the Haslams are going to sign a 30-year lease to stay in the stadium on the lakefront, even if you pour $1 billion into it? No, that's not going to happen, folks.
Especially if you're bragging to me about how things have been there for 100 years. And you're talking about a foundation that has been there for that long, and a foundation that, according to our own Daryl Ryder, through his sources and his reporting, says needs repairing. So
well, that might be where the billion comes into play.
Even a good chunk of that, if they do it, it's essentially the same thing that you run into if anybody's out there, and especially this time of year, if you've ever had to fix your basement, which is you dump a whole bunch of money in there, and sadly, you can't walk anybody around and go, wow, look at the investment I just put into my house. Instead, it's like, wow, look at the dirt. You know, that's what you're doing. If you're dumping a chunk of that money into the foundation that you can't even really show anybody saying, hey, look at what we've done to make this place better.
I honestly think people are delusional if they think throwing $1 billion into that stadium is going to make the Haslam say, absolutely, 30 years is great. We'll sign that lease. Jeffrey is in Cleveland. Jeffrey.
All right, Jeffrey.
Well, sure. When I was at the game, when I was at the preseason game Saturday, there was busloads of convention goers looking for the convention center. Okay? Some sort of convention was going on, but there was busloads of them. And I said to myself, that convention center is really nice, and it has a dome. The Cleveland State Convention Center is really nice. It has a dome. We have plenty of domes. We don't need another dome. We need the Cleveland Browns to stay here in Cleveland. Go Browns.
All right, Jeffrey. That was a comment that made no sense. The Browns are looking for a dome stadium or a renovated stadium. Okay? You're not going to play football in Cleveland State's Convocation Center.
Nope. And on top of the fact that you don't have a stadium that has a dome on top of it that can hold more than 20,000 people. which is the reason why you don't run into these massive things that can come to town unless they can come to town in the summer and guarantee that the weather's going to be decent.
Kathy is in Bainbridge. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi. I have a couple comments to make. First of all, my tickets, I'm a season ticket holder for 75 years in my family. And my tickets went up when they hired Deshaun. My tickets went up when we were in the playoffs last year. I am paying $4,000 more this year for my four tickets. I cannot even imagine what my ticket prices are going to be in a new stadium. That's one point.
Or a renovated stadium.
Right. Either way, they're going to go up. The other point I have is I've been to away games, and I really don't like a dome. I'm used to the elements. We play in the rain. We play in the snow. We play in the wind. That's football. It's not basketball. It's football. If they do a dome, I hope it's retractable. Because the game this week, the preseason game, the weather was beautiful. Why would we be indoors? If they do a dome, do it retractable. I understand when I think with my head.
You want to throw another billion onto the price tag, Kathy?
Yeah, that's the bummer of that one. I'd love to do the same, Kathy.
I would agree with you, Kathy, but I don't know that that's practical.
From what Daryl has told us, it's another $1 billion to make the thing move.
Really? Okay, yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
No. Hey, Kathy, do you to the games in December?
And frankly, you shouldn't be, Kathy. I don't know what it costs to build a stadium.
Well, I don't miss a game. I've been to every game.
Good for you. I never miss. Good for you.
Storms, weathers. The last game of two years ago, people were texting me saying, don't go. It's like 6 below. I'm like, no, I've got to be there. So it's part of it.
That's awesome.
You just dress for the weather.
All right, Kathy. I admire your spunk. You're spunkier than most.
Well, and they also do more than 10 things a year at that stadium. There's charity events. There's concerts. And seriously, I would love a Super Bowl here. And we won't get it unless we do a dome, unless we build a new facility.
Kathy, have you ever been to a game inside a dome stadium, by the way?
Yes.
Have you?
Where'd
you go?
I was in Vegas, fortunately.
Very cool.
And then where else?
Have you done Ford Field? Because that's the one that I did.
No, I haven't.
That one was funky. Now, that's a little bit older of a dome, but it kind of felt like you were watching football in a garage, though it was really nice that I didn't have to wear four layers to be standing there watching it. I will say that.
Well, I've been to Atlanta, and that's retractable, and it was a beautiful day, so they had it open. I didn't realize how much costly it would be.
Yeah, it would add to that price tag.
But the other fear I have, do you remember when the Cavs went to Richfield and what a bust that was?
That wasn't a bust. That was hugely popular.
But it didn't last.
It didn't last because the city wanted the team back downtown, and they gave Gordon Gund everything he wanted in a new arena. He was more than happy to stay in Richfield and have his own building and his own parking and his own concessions and his own everything and not have to deal with the city of Cleveland or any other big base of people telling him what to do.
So if we move to Brook Park, how would that not happen again?
Because there's no way the city would build the stadium to bring back the Cleveland Browns if they had a beautiful dome stadium sitting out in Brook Park.
Yeah. Well, and so Kathy brings up the weather part. Cuyahoga County executive Chris Renane yesterday.
No, it's not. Ask the New Orleans Saints.
So Mr. Renane, to quote my mother.
He just brought in the Baltimore Ravens.
To quote my mother, if those people all jumped off a bridge, would you follow them?
Thank you, Mrs. Menigan.
Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's right. Come on. Don't do this. Oh, we're the AFC North. Football's meant to be tough. It's meant to be in the weather. We're tough. You don't have to prove it to anybody, especially because your quarterback's from Georgia, your wide receiver's from Florida, your best pass rusher's from Texas. Come on. It's not like you're grabbing these people all from around the area and they're used to playing in the elements. Your best running back who's coming off of a knee injury is also from Georgia. I don't understand this thought process.
It's not a good thought process.
Oh.
And it's never been a good thought process.
And yeah, people can find their way into their seats. They also have to pay $80 to park.
Ideally, my thoughts on the whole thing when it comes to playing football in elements, this is it. These are some phenomenal athletes. I want to see them at their athletic best. And to me, their athletic best is on an open-air stadium on grass in good weather. And the minute you start taking aspects of that away, I think you have a problem. And I would love open air. I would love on grass. If you're in a nice climate, that's fine. The whole element thing, the minute that DBs can't cut because the field is icy and it's snowing and wide receivers, you know, can't. I just want to see these guys at their best. And that's why a retractable dome is absolutely the best possibility in my mind all the way around. I don't think that's going to happen here. That means to me a dome stadium is the next best situation. That said, I'm not paying for it. If the county doesn't want to pay for it, if the city doesn't want to pay for it, fine. Build a new stadium somewhere in downtown Cleveland. But what I just think is the silliest idea is dumping $1 billion into that lakefront stadium. That one makes no sense to me, folks. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll take some calls later on this, if you wish. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk knows a lot about this kind of stuff and other things. We'll be talking to him about all of it coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps with Menigan in for Andy. We're talking about two things today. The arrest of Mike Hall Jr. on domestic violence charges. As we get new information, we will pass it along to you. Right now, police report is out. And when we get information, if the Browns release anything more from a statement standpoint, we'll have that for you. We're talking about the stadium situation and the comments by our county executive and our council president yesterday about the situation. I keep going back to this. You don't want a dome stadium? Okay, that's fine. You don't want to contribute to it as a tax base? Okay, I understand that. And you want the Haslams to pay for the whole thing? Fine. I understand that too. That might not be feasible. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you how to pay for it. The one thing I do know in this whole situation, at least in this guy's opinion, putting $1 billion into that stadium on the lake is a silly idea. That is silly. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I feel the same exact way. Chris Renane, the Cuyahoga County executive, politely disagrees with all of us and brings in the idea that, hey, it's not just the Browns with this one. We got to think of everybody else in town.
Okay.
I think that's probably the answer.
If you don't think the stadium is up to snuff now and you pour $1 billion into it, like Mayor Bibb said, and we'll want a 30-year lease. Really? You really think the Haslams are going to sign a 30-year lease to stay in the stadium on the lakefront, even if you pour $1 billion into it? No, that's not going to happen, folks.
Especially if you're bragging to me about how things have been there for 100 years, and you're talking about a foundation that has been there for that long, and a foundation that, according to our own Daryl Ryder, through his sources and his reporting, says needs repairing. So even
that might be where the billion comes into play.
Even a good chunk of that, if they do it, it's essentially the same thing that you run into if anybody's out there, and especially this time of year, if you've ever had to fix your basement, which is you dump a whole bunch of money in there, and sadly, you can't walk anybody around and go, wow, look at the investment I just put into my house. Instead, it's like, wow, look at the dirt. You know, that's what you're doing. If you're dumping a chunk of that money into the foundation that you can't even really show anybody saying, hey, look at what we've done to make this place better.
I just think it. I honestly think people are delusional if they think throwing $1 billion into that stadium is going to make the Haslams say, absolutely, 30 years is great. We'll sign that lease. Jeffrey is in Cleveland. Jeffrey.
All right, Jeffrey.
Well, sure. When I was at the preseason game Saturday, there was busloads of convention goers looking for the convention center. Okay, some sort of convention was going on, but there was busloads of them. And I said to myself, that convention center is really nice, and it has a dome. The Cleveland State Convention Center is really nice; it has a dome. We have plenty of domes. We don't need another dome. We need the Cleveland Browns to stay here in Cleveland. Go Browns!
All right, Jeffrey. That was a comment that made no sense. The Browns are looking for a dome stadium or a renovated stadium. Okay. That's you're not going to play football in Cleveland State's Convocation Center.
Nope. And on top of the fact that you don't have a stadium that has a dome on top of it that can hold more than 20,000 people, which is the reason why you don't run into these massive things that can come to town unless they can come to town in the summer and guarantee that the weather's going to be decent.
Kathy is in Bainbridge. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi. I have a couple comments to make. First of all, my tickets, I'm a season ticket holder for 75 years in my family. And my tickets went up when they hired Deshaun. My tickets went up when we were in the playoffs last year. I am paying $4,000 more this year for my four tickets. I cannot even imagine what my ticket prices are going to be in a new stadium. That's one point.
Or a renovated stadium.
Right. Either way, they're going to go up. The other point I have is I've been to away games, and I really don't like a dome. I'm used to the elements. We play in the rain. We play in the snow. We play in the wind. That's football. It's not basketball. It's football. If they do a dome, I hope it's retractable. Because the game this week, the preseason game, the weather was beautiful. Why would we be indoors? If they do a dome, do it retractable. I understand when I stick with my head.
You want to throw another billion onto the price tag, Kathy?
Yeah, that's the bummer of that one. I'd love to do the same, Kathy.
I would agree with you, Kathy, but I don't know that that's
from
practical.
What Daryl has told us, it's another $1 billion to make the thing move.
Really? Okay, yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
No. Hey, Kathy, do you to the games in December?
And frankly, you shouldn't be, Kathy. I don't know what it costs to build a stadium.
Well, I don't miss a game. I've been to every game. I never miss.
Good for you.
Storms, weathers. The last game of two years ago, people were texting me saying, don't go. It's like 6 below. I'm like, no, I've got to be there. So it's part of it.
That's awesome.
You just dress for the weather.
All right, Kathy. I admire your spunk. You're spunkier than most.
Well, and they also do more than 10 things a year at that stadium. There's charity events. There's concerts. And I would love a Super Bowl here, and we won't get it unless we do a dome, unless we build a new facility.
Kathy, have you ever been to a game inside a dome stadium, by the way?
Yes,
have
and
you?
I don't
Where'd
like
you go?
It.
Where'd you go?
I was in Vegas, fortunately.
Very cool.
And then where else?
Have you done Ford Field? Because that's the one that I did.
No, I haven't.
That one was funky. Now, that's a little bit older of a dome, but it kind of felt like you were watching football in a garage, though it was really nice that I didn't have to wear four layers to be standing there watching it. I will say that.
Well, I've been to Atlanta, and that's retractable, and it was a beautiful day, so they had it open. I didn't realize how much costly it would be.
Yeah, it would add to that price tag.
But the other fear I have, do you remember when the Cavs went to Richfield and what a bust that was?
That wasn't a bust. That was hugely popular.
But it didn't last.
It didn't last because the city wanted the team back downtown, and they gave Gordon Gund everything he wanted in a new arena. He was more than happy to stay in Richfield and have his own building and his own parking and his own concessions and his own everything and not have to deal with the city of Cleveland or any other big base of people telling him what to do.
So if we move to Brook Park, how would that not happen again?
Because there's no way the city would build the stadium to bring back the Cleveland Browns if they had a beautiful dome stadium sitting out in Brook Park.
Yeah. Well, and so Kathy brings up the weather part. Cuyahoga County executive Chris Renane yesterday.
No, it's not. Ask the New Orleans Saints.
So Mr. Renane, to quote my mother.
He just brought in the Baltimore Ravens.
To quote my mother. If those people all jumped off a bridge, would you follow them?
Mrs. Menigan.
Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's right. Come on. Don't do this. Oh, we're the AFC North. Football's meant to be tough. It's meant to be in the weather. We're tough. You don't have to prove it to anybody, especially because your quarterback's from Georgia, your wide receiver's from Florida, your best pass rusher's from Texas. Come on. It's not like you're grabbing these people all from around the area and they're used to playing in the elements. Your best running back who's coming off of a knee injury is also from Georgia. I don't understand this thought process.
It's not a good thought process.
Ugh.
And it's never been a good thought process.
And yeah, people can find their way into their seats. They also have to pay $80 to park.
Ideally, My thoughts on the whole thing when it comes to playing football in elements, this is it. These are some phenomenal athletes. I want to see them at their athletic best. And to me, their athletic best is on an open-air stadium on grass in good weather. And the minute you start taking aspects of that away, I think you have a problem. And I would love open air. I would love on grass. If you're in a nice climate, that's fine. The whole element thing, the minute that DBs can't cut because the field is icy and it's snowing and wide receivers, you know, can't, I just want to see these guys at their best. And that's why a retractable dome is absolutely the best possibility in my mind all the way around. I don't think that's going to happen here. That means to me a dome stadium is the next best situation. That said, I'm not paying for it. If the county doesn't want to pay for it, if the city doesn't want to pay for it, fine. Build a new stadium somewhere in downtown Cleveland. But what I just think is the silliest idea is dumping $1 billion into that lakefront stadium. That one makes no sense to me, folks. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll take some calls later on this, if you wish. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk knows a lot about this kind of stuff and other things. We'll be talking to him about all of it coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps with Menigan in for Andy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.